Well, I have a very encouraging word for you. If you have any children, or even spiritual children, that's good. The children of the righteous are coming home, saints. Let me share something with you. The physical and spiritual children of the true sanctified believers are coming to the Lord. Our natural children have promise of sanctification and salvation if we follow the Lord in faith and sanctification. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14 that the unbelieving husband is sanctified in the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified in the brother. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. So, obviously, when we're sanctified and a believer, they're clean because God gives us that benefit, right? In Deuteronomy 12 and 28, we're told, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children. So if you observe the words of God, it'll be good with your children. And with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. Amen. So there are some conditions. And Psalm 102 and 28, we're told, the children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Those that serve God, not just people who claim Christianity, but those who serve the Lord. And we're also warned in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I also will forget thy children. A threat from the Lord, that if we forget him, he will forget our children. People who have enough fear of the Lord just need a little faith to believe in God, right? We have a good article on our site. It's called Faith for Lost Loved Ones. I suggest anybody go there and read it. The Word obviously teaches household salvation as a benefit to the believer. Acts 11 and 14 says, who shall speak unto thee words whereby thou shalt be saved, thou and all thy house? And Acts 16 and 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. And also we have an article on audio, actually on the site, called Children of the Righteous Are Saved. I think it's in the 90s or 80s and 90s, either way, but it's good. And here's some good news for the bride, the children of the bride, who are typed in the scriptures as Zion or faithful Jerusalem, will come into the kingdom in multitudes by a great revival, according to Isaiah 60 and 1. Arise and shine, for thy, that is the bride, thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, you know, first of all, you know, the seed is sown in the heart of the bride. She's able to pass it on to her children. That seed is what brings forth fruit, right? And, by the way, the seed is in the fruit. If a person doesn't have fruit, they don't really have the seed. So he says, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And nations shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, they all gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far. Thy daughters shall be carried in the arms. So many children will come to Zion, which is their true mother, and biblical leadership underneath the David ministry, which is, of course, the leader over Jerusalem, Zion, the bride. Verse 5 goes on to say, it says, then shalt thou see and be radiant. Thy heart shall thrill and be enlarged because of the abundance of the sea, which we're told in the book of Revelation that it's peoples, nations, tribes, and tongues, right? Abundance of the sea shall be turned unto thee, which is a great revival. The wealth of the nations shall come unto thee. And the sons of them that afflict thee shall come bending unto thee. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion, which is the bride, of the Holy One of Israel. Yeah, there's terrible things coming upon the world. Many people are going to repent and fear God and turn to Him. Amen. And whether they like it or not, the Lord has made the bride over the rest of the body, and He's made the man-child over the bride. And God raised up His man-child Jesus to bring many children to Zion, the bride, right? And that's especially seen in Isaiah 49. I'm going to read to you verse 7 on down. It says, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and His Holy One, to Him whom man despiseth. We know that's Jesus, right? To Him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Well, this is Jesus, but it's also Jesus in the man-child body. He said, he that receiveth me receiveth you, and he that receiveth you receiveth me, right? So, basically, when God speaks to you out of someone, or He leads you out of someone, He holds you accountable to Him, right? Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, even the Holy One of Israel, who hath chosen thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I answered thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to raise up the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages. Yes, they had departed from their land, they had departed from Jerusalem, they had departed and were taken captive. Saying to them that are bound, in other words, in captivity, go forth. You know God can do that at any time, can't He? He is sovereign. He turns people over to the tormentors, and He can turn them loose anytime He gets ready. Go forth to them that are in darkness. Show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and on all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger, nor thirst, neither shall the heat of nor the sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them will lead them, even by springs of water will he guide them. And where is he guiding them to? Well, he's going to tell you. I will make all my mountains a way, and that's a way for the redeemed to come to Zion, right? And my highways shall be exalted. Lo, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim, which is the east. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people, and will have compassion upon His afflicted, because they've been in bondage, right? But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, these may forget, yet will not I forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. That's the walls of Zion, right? The bride. Thy children make haste. In other words, there's going to be a time when God gives that grace when He says, go forth. Depart from the darkness. Right? Thy children make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth from thee. In other words, those who crucified the bride from the apostate church will repent or flee, and her children will come to her. Verse 18 says, lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. Praise God. Who is that? Thy children make haste. All right. As I live, says the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all as with an ornament, and gird thyself with them like a bride. There's the bride and her children, right? For as for thy waste and desolate places and thy land that hath been destroyed, surely now shalt thou be too straight for the inhabitants, and they that swallow thee up shall be far away. In other words, the road will be too narrow for those who persecuted the bride, and they will separate, and that's happening, has happened. But then, verse 20, the children of thy bereavement, in other words, those who are born and taken into captivity, children she lost, shall yet say in thine ears, the place is too straight for me. Give place to me that I may dwell. In other words, those who return will need grace, right? It is a narrow way, but it gets narrower the further you go down it. And it doesn't start out that narrow at the beginning. God gives you a little leeway because of where you're coming from. But where you're going to is it gets narrower and narrower. That's what the Word teaches. Then shalt thou say in thy heart, who hath begotten me these, seeing I've been bereaved of my children? In other words, this is another group of people. And am solitary, an exile, and wandering to and fro. And who hath brought up these new children who are being prepared in secret among the nations, are now to come to the bride? Behold, I was left alone. These, where were they? The bride didn't know them, but you see, God is preparing these people to be nurtured and fed by the bride, who, by the way, is you know, when John the Baptist spoke of Jesus, he said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. That was the bride Jesus was leading of the first fruits at that time. And where were they? And the Lord answers her question. In verse 22, he says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations, and set my ensign to the peoples, and they shall bring thy sons in their bosom, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. In other words, even as it was with Joseph, and as it was with Daniel, even the beast will humble themselves to take care of these people, even while persecuting the rest. Oh, it'll work out. Believe me, saints, God says it, and it'll do. It'll happen. They shall bow down to thee in their faces, with their faces to the earth, and lick the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And they that wait for me shall not be put to shame. This is the key. Be patient and wait on the Lord. He will do everything he has said. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty? In other words, these people that are taken from the nations. Or the lawful captives be delivered? In other words, they were in captivity because of their sins, right? And they were lawfully taken by Satan's emissaries, but the Lord has mercy. The children will be set free from captivity to the beast and the harlot, which was the man-child Jesus' first message in Isaiah 61. Remember, he preached about the setting the captives free, opening the prison to the bound, and so on and so forth. Yeah, at the beginning, that was his first word. It went forth, you know, and of course, it's the man-child's word that's going to go forth. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. He's coming in right behind John the Baptist ministry. Repent, repent. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Oh, praise be to God. Those that have gone into captivity, those that have been in captivity all along, they're coming to the Lord. They're coming to the bride. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Oh, praise be to God. Do you suppose that's both physical and spiritual children? I do. Yes, I certainly do. Oh, praise God. We have a better covenant based in better promises, right? And I can guarantee you, he saved their children who were faithful of the Jews, and he will save the children of the Christians who have been faithful. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. Yes, some of them will not repent and come out of bondage, and they will devour themselves. They shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Well, not only the bride will bear many children, but those among the larger church who are faithful. And the church is, of course, typed as Jacob or Israel. And, of course, the bride was within Judah, was Jerusalem, right? And Isaiah 43:1 says, concerning Jacob, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. And then in verse 5 he says, fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Every one that is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yea, whom I have made, bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Yep, well, they've got ears, but they need spiritual eyes and ears. And God says, commands them to come forth, give up, and they will come. Praise be to God. And remember when Jesus came on the scene, a mighty revival began among the elect who came out from among the Jews and followed him. Amen. Well, the thing that got me on this was Merlene Laughlin's revelation, which we call Prepare the Food, the Children Are Coming. Praise the Lord. And Deb Orton put some notes in this too, but I'm going to share with you. First, Deb said, Merlene is a compound of Maria and Magdalene, or Mary Magdalene. And I'd learned a long time ago that Magdalene is a title which means of Magdala, because she was from the village of Magdala, which means tower in Hebrew. And the bride is called Tower of the Flock in Micah 4:8. And thou, Tower of the Flock. Tower of the Flock, of course, is a place of safety. And, of course, Jerusalem sitting up on that hill looked like a tower, right? And thou, Tower of the Flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Yea, the former dominion shall come. The kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Oh, so there is a new Jerusalem, which Revelation says is coming down, being born from above, into the heart of the bride who is on earth, by the way. It is that city that people see in the letter and in the flesh and don't understand the parable is being spoke there. But the former dominion shall come. You know, you remember the time when David over Jerusalem ruled the known world at that time? And once again, that authority is returning to the bride and to the man-child, that authority. And from this we see that the bride will rise again and have that dominion that she once had. Merlin in this dream represents the bride, whose children are coming to her. And as we see in the text that we read, both physical and many spiritual children will come to the bride. Glory be to God. How many of you are believing for your children? I hope so. Hold fast, hold firm, but also walk with the Lord. That's the people that have the promise. Obey Him. Walk with Him. Repent. Turn to Him with all of your heart. And, well, Merlin's dream was, she said, I dreamed of being in a house rather than a mobile home. And, of course, and she lives in a mobile home right now. But I believe that this speaks about a transition to a more permanent ministry for the bride. And it's also a timing, I believe, because she is moving to a house just ahead. We believe that. The only room I really saw was the kitchen, she said. And that's where spiritual food is prepared to sustain the people, right? She said it had the feel that we hadn't been there all that long. So there you go, timing-wise, she's in this big house now, moving to a bigger house. There was an island in the kitchen with the refrigerator off to the right. Then a counter area, a sink, with a window above it that wrapped around to the left of that. And then around the corner, the stove and kitchen doorway. My kitchen was clean, but all the cupboard doors were open, revealing glass dishes, plasticware to store food in, which gave it a cluttered appearance. The counter next to the fridge had all the contents from the fridge on it, and the shelving had been removed and was leaning against the lower cupboard area. I was standing by the island and looked as a very, very small gray-haired woman with a light-colored dress on stood inside on the floor of the fridge. And Deb put the mature part of the church that does this work is very small. It's so true. So true. Gray-haired woman. Very small. Cleaning the refrigerator. Making sure the food is preserved and safe, right? She was wiping down the back wall with a clean white cloth. With the door open, the light was on, and she was moving quickly. There was a bright glow all around her. And I do believe she represents the mature among God's people who are getting ready to feed many. The spiritual food and the bright light are synonymous in this case, right? Because our food is the Word of God, and it's also the bright light, right? And this is also Joseph's silos that were prepared and preserved to feed the people for the 7 years of famine. So you can see that this is something that is coming very, very quickly, because we can see that the tribulation is coming very, very quickly, right? The 7 years of famine. And we can see all the things that are around us that are preparing famine to come, for goodness sake. You know, all the weather warfare that they're doing to destroy the crops in California, which is a high, high percentage of the food in America, and the drowning out of the East and all that stuff. You know, that's for the purpose of bringing control over people with the food and also famine. She was doing a very thorough job cleaning for the preparation and preservation of the spiritual food to feed the children is what she was doing. And as I looked on the kitchen floor near where the veggie drawer would be, there was 2 to 3 pieces of a torn lettuce leaf on the floor. And Deb wrote a page in a book is also called a leaf. And of course, we're thinking Bible here, right? So this could symbolize that the people have only bits and pieces of the gospel to feed on until now. Yeah, I agree. You know, the word says that knowledge, which has been in part, shall be discarded for the complete, which will be manifested in the bride. 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect, or complete, is come, that which is in part shall be done away, discarded, under the feet, so to speak, right? When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child, but now I am become a man, I have put away childish things. In other words, knowledge in part comes to a child, knowledge in completion comes to a man, right? So, of course, some people want to be continually children and never grow up in the things of the Lord and never bear fruit, and they're going to lose their position in the heavenlies because of that. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Amen. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. Meaning, this is somebody that believes the gospel. They behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. Amen. So, that's what the lettuce pieces of the lettuce leaf on the floor, I believe, represent. It's been discarded. Can you imagine that when Jesus comes on the scene, like he said he was coming, in John 16, as a little baby born to a woman, a man child born to a woman, that he will have the same kind of connection with the Father that he had before. He said he always did those things that he saw of his Father and so on and so forth. You know, we'll have that connection through the man child ministry. Amen. History repeats. We'll have much better knowledge than we've had up until this point. Praise be to God. So, Marlene said, turning my attention to the left of the sink was a large, shiny silver coffee urn. And Michael Levesque had just gotten a cup and had spilled some that had apparently leaked from the lever. There was a rather large area that had spilled on the floor unnoticed by him. Deb had a comment. She said, silver is the metal of redemption, and coffee could symbolize that the redeemed are waking up. You know, people like to get their coffee in the morning to wake up. The spilled coffee could symbolize that not everyone is partaking of the benefits of their redemption. Amen. They're not drinking it. It's better to drink it than have it on the floor, right? To the right of the fridge was another doorway into the kitchen. And Sue Levesque walked around the open fridge door and stood next to me at the island. I knew she came from a very large room. And Deb said, Susan means graceful lily. It's from the same root word as Shushan, the palace, in the book of Esther. Yeah, you know, the very large room spoken about here can be the king and the bride's palace. Right? Amen. And another variant has it as Lily of the Valley, and we know who that is, right? She had a piece of blue and white wrapping paper in her hand. And she asked me if I had any more for the bulletin board for the pictures. Well, the blue and white background implies heavenly surroundings for the children of the believers, right? Because their pictures were to go on that bulletin board. This is a parallel revelation of the cleaning or sanctification needed for their return. Everything has got to be right and clean. And God's been cleaning UBM in preparation for this multitude to come. We've known it. We've got revelations of it all over the site. But more is needed, for many are coming. That's the point. So I said, "What pictures?" She replied, "The pictures of everyone's children that are coming," quote unquote. That's why everything must be ready. I knew then that all the children and the grandkids were coming. And all of us had prayed so long for this. Boy, I tell you. Let me read that to you again. "What pictures?" She replied, "The pictures of everyone's children that are coming." I believe it's talking about the bride, since we've already had symbols of that already. "That's why everything must be ready. I knew then that all the children and the grandkids were coming." All of us had prayed so long for this. And it just so happens she remembered a testimony by Sandy Shaw, and she went and got that, and I'll share it with you. Sandy said, "A little over a year or a year and a half ago, the Lord put it on my heart to pray for the children and loved ones who were not saved in our fellowship. He wanted me to call them out by name. And that's when I asked Merlene for the names of her kids. And by the next visit, she brought me a family picture and put the names of each on the back of each person. I placed the picture in my Bible where I could see it and pray for them each morning. One morning, when being in the kitchen, I placed my Bible on the kitchen table with it closed, with the picture in the inside flap. I went to get a drink, and when I returned, the picture of Merlene and Don's family was on the table. And the Bible was still closed. And it was even on the opposite side of where I would open it." The Lord was bringing it out. Pray for your children, right? Pray for your children. And Merlene's gotten some real good dreams about her children coming to the Lord. We praise God for that. Then one day I told Belinda that I was praying for the Laughlin children. And she said, "You know, I have two daughters and grandchildren that I have been praying for." Then Belinda gave me pictures the next day of her children and grandchildren. There are other family members in the fellowship that I have been praying for, and also their children, even if I didn't know their names. But I'd like more pictures so I don't miss anybody. And they will be put where everyone can see them. Amen. So, Merlene went on to say, "We were planning a celebration for the children's coming. Don, which means ruler of the world, and is the husband of Merlene, who, as we saw, represented the bride. Don probably represents the man-child here. He was standing by the stove where spiritual food is prepared, right? Talking to Michael Levesque about setting up tables in a large room and putting chairs around them." There's that large room again. And it reminded her of Acts 16 and 29. "And he called for lights and sprang in and trembled for fear, fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house.'" Household salvation. And Exodus 12 and 23, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you." So the lamb was for a whole household. to have a Passover of the curse. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And Merlene got this last verse as a promise from the Lord on January the 13th, 2012. It's Isaiah 42 and 16. And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. In paths that they know not will I lead them. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. These things will I do, and I will not forsake them. This was a promise the Lord gave her for her children. How about that? You know, the crooked places made straight reminds us of John the Baptist's ministry of repentance, which prepared the way for the people to receive Jesus in the man-child's ministry, too. And as a confirmation, I received this dream, and I received another one from Deborah Horton on the same day. And I'm going to share that one with you. And I've called it John the Baptist, Man, Child, and Bride Revival. And Deborah Horton just had this one on the 23rd. And Deb said, I was trying to take a nap when I had a split-second dream of David. And all I have is that David was telling me, in an exact quote, that the most incredible open vision I've ever had in the middle of a path. That's the most incredible vision I've ever had in the middle of a path. You'll understand that in a moment. She said he never got to tell me what the vision was. Well, I believe from reading the rest of it that it's the vision of the greatest revival in all of history that's coming down the narrow road prepared by the preaching of repentance. And Deb said, we were standing in the middle of a narrow, packed earth path, but I have no idea where the path was. Well, the narrow path is the narrow way of holiness and obedience to the Lord, or the Word. Right? Deborah represents the bride, and David here represents the David Manchild ministry. Both are on the narrow highway of holiness that leads to Zion, which is what? The bride. And we just got a revelation of the people coming to the bride, the children coming to the bride, right? Isaiah 35 and verse 4 says, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with recompense of God, and he will come and save you. Of course, the bride, you know, is getting a crucifixion leading up to the time when she's ready for this ministry. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Praise God, there it is again. You know, they can't help it because they're blind and deaf, right? But the Lord can. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness, which we know to be the tribulation, according to Revelation 12 and Revelation 17, in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive, Jesus said. Jesus spoke those streams of living water. His disciples spoke those streams of living water. The man-child is going to speak those streams of living water. And it's the true washing of the waters with the Word that will bring them, will sanctify them and bring them. And the glowing sand shall become a pool. So pray for the man-child and bride ministries, right? The glowing sand shall become a pool. In other words, a mirage is going to, you know, an imagination is going to come to pass. You got that? And the thirsty ground, springs of water, in the habitation of jackals, where they lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed. The wayfaring man, that's the man traveling on the well-traveled road, a broad road, right? The wayfaring man, yea, fool, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. Remember, the beast can't get on the highway of holiness. Get on the highway of holiness, it leads to Zion. The children are coming to Zion, to the bride, to be nurtured. They shall not be found there, that is the beast, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. The ransom means the bought and taken, right? And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. There's a lot of people that hate Zion right now, but I tell you what, they better change their minds, and quickly. The path was so smooth, all the dirt looked as if it had been sifted. Speaking against that narrow path, right? There was not even a single tiny rock on it. I was impressed by that. Also, the pass was perfectly straight. Well, this rings bells, doesn't it? This cleared, smooth, and straight path implies preparation for the coming children through the spirit of repentance, through the John the Baptist ministry. Malachi 3:1, Behold, I send my messenger, he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. First thing the temple has to do is repent, right? It has to be repentance. It makes it easy for the Lord to come into the temple if there's repentance. It makes it impossible if not. That's why the path has to be prepared. And the messenger of the covenant, this is the Lord, and his man-child too, whom you desire, behold, he cometh, saith the Lord of hosts. So the path represents the prepared way of repentance, so that the Lord in the man-child can be recognized, because those that don't repent are not even going to recognize him. They didn't in Jesus' day. And received by the people. Luke 3:3. And he came into all the region round about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins. Now, I know there's nobody out there that's called John the Baptist, and maybe even don't even recognize themselves as being John the Baptist, but I can tell you what the spirit it is. It's the spirit of repent. Repent and believe the word of God. Repent. That spirit is going forth, and people are listening to some extent. That's not enough. Repentance is good, but you got to know where to go, and that's what the man-child ministry is about. So whoever's preaching repentance, they're preaching that spirit right there of repentance. And it's preparing the way for the Lord to come to the people. Right? As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. So it's somebody that's out in the wilderness already. Make ye ready the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. There it is. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. In other words, it's level. It's straight. It's not crooked. And the crooked shall become straight. What makes the crooked straight? Repentance. And the rough ways smooth. There it is. Ooh. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Who is that? Jesus. He is the salvation of God. He's coming to us in the first fruits. Then he's coming to us in the second fruits. I mean, this is what this thing is all about. It's a geometric progression of Christ coming in the body. Of course, he comes in the head first. You don't want a brain dead body, right? And I asked for a Confirmation and got Ezra 2 and 64. The whole assembly together was 42,303. Besides their men servants and their maid servants, of whom there were 7,337. Now you may say, well, what does this got to do with it? These are the people who we spoke just before this about, who repented and came out of Babylon to Jerusalem, the bride, and contributed towards the temple, because they are actually a part of the temple in real life, right? We're all we who are a part of the temple are contributing to the temple, to building the temple, bringing in the people, right? The people are the temple, right? So, pretty neat, huh? And some of the heads of fathers' houses, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, offered willingly for the house of God to set it in its place. They gave after their ability into the treasury of the work 61,000 derricks of gold and 5,000 pounds of silver and 100 priests' garments. So the people, the first fruits that were coming out, contributed towards the building of the temple. I got to tell you, the folks here have done that. They bought books to go out and teach people the Word of God. It's kind of like Joseph's granaries, as we got in one Revelation. They've contributed to this. And she said, after reading David's notes on these two dreams, I asked for a confirmation and got by computer and generated by random, John 3 and 36. He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Yeah, that's right. What we see here is that believing is obeying. People who can't obey don't believe. And first thing they need to believe is if they repent, they're on that narrow road. They're on that highway of holiness that's not crooked. It's straight. And it's level. It's made easy. You know, walking up and down mountain roads, you know, I kind of live on a mountain myself, so I know it's a workout. Not going down, coming up. You know, it's a workout. And but I love it. Anyway, you know, the level, the straight path, the easy path, what makes it easy to come to the Lord, or for the Lord to come to you, to come to His temple, right? And that is repentance. There has to be repentance. Even if you think you've repented, you may have some things to learn. I was thinking about Job the other day. How that Job was walking in the light that he knew. He thought he was walking righteous, perfectly righteous before God, and God even called him righteous, because to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And Job was doing everything he knew to do. But when the Lord spoke, finally spoke, he was putting Job through a quiet time there as far as words from heaven. He was putting him through that quiet time to test him. And he proved faithful, but he had some problems. One of his problems was he was self-righteous. And he didn't realize that, but the Lord revealed it to him. He spoke quite a few pages to him about it, about what he really didn't know about things. We don't know much, saints. We only know what God has shown us, and by His grace, He will continue to lead us down that path and give us more light in front of our feet so that we can keep walking on that highway of holiness until we manifest that holiness and truly become children of the bride, right? Amen? So, and this is just an awesome story to me. It's just an awesome promise to me of what God is going to bring to His bride and to His man-child. There's a great revival coming. And I'm convinced that what the David saw when they looked down that road, that highway of holiness, that straight and narrow path, what they saw coming was the children of the bride. Oh, hallelujah! Ain't that good news? Well, Father, we ask you to make it so, Father. You have spoken it in your word, and we stand upon your word, Lord, not only for the bride, but for the larger church, the faithful who are among them, the innocent that are among the church, Lord. Wherever they might be on that road, Lord, we just ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would bring forth the children. Not only their physical children, but also many spiritual children. Because just as you, Jesus, went forth with the bride in your day to raise up the fivefold ministry and send out preachers of the gospel, Lord, we just know you're going to bear the greatest fruit in the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. And we're thankful for that. We know it's going to be in a time of great trouble, great lack, great persecution by the beast, great persecution by the harlot, as always. It's just history repeated. But your people are going to come to Zion with joy and singing and be happy even in the midst of the things that are going on around them. It'll be joyful to finally know the truth, this high way of holiness. And see, many of the children will come from among those tribes that haven't even believed that it was possible to walk as the Lord walks. And that's a sad thing, but that's what their lying teachers told them, and they shouldn't have been teachers in the first place, but they were. And they should have been filled with the Holy Spirit and ordained of God, but they weren't. And so, Lord, we know you got a great work you're going to do. And Lord, we pray and we agree that you are going to bring our physical children into the kingdom, Father, all of them. You're going to grant them repentance. And we, Lord, by your grace, are going to walk righteous before you so that you can fulfill your promise. And we won't come across that warning that you will forget our children because we forgot your word. So, Lord, we thank you for bringing in our natural children. And we thank you, Lord, for those spiritual children, even those that we don't know about in the far reaches of the nations, that you said you're going to bring to your bride and to your man-child. We thank you, Lord, for doing that. We thank you for raising up the church, a mighty army, from among them dead, dry bones of Ezekiel's, when the Spirit of God came upon them, just as it will upon those that enter into the wilderness, like the Israelites were baptized in the cloud. When the Spirit of God is poured out upon them, Lord, because of this great revival you're going to do, they're going to come. They're going to serve. They're going to be glad. They're going to appreciate the grace that you've given unto them, O Lord. And we praise you for it. In the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you for it. We thank you for it. We know, Lord, that you're going to do it. We're so happy that you're going to do it, Lord. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, give us grace, Lord, to get prepared for the children to come, Lord. Let us get the icebox cleaned out. Let us get the food prepared and ready. Let us get the stove ready, everything ready for feeding the children, preserving the children in this time to come. Lord, your word has come to your people in many times in the past when the beast kingdom has humbled your people and prepared them to receive the word of repentance and prepared them to receive the word of the kingdom. And so, Lord, we're just thanking you and praising you for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're thanking you and praising you for drawing these children even now, for giving them repentance in the midst of the nations where they've been taken captive. They don't know that they're a part of the nations rather than a part of the church. They have not come to your capital city yet, your bride yet. And so their true leadership, Lord, bring them out from the false leadership, Lord. Lord, we know you've told us you're going to judge the false leadership very quickly. And you're going to set the captives free and open the prison of those that are bound. And we're praising you and thanking you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.